Blog Talk Radio.
We ain't nothing but some true young G's. We ain't nothing but some G's. Yeah.
G's on the podcast.
Said it's different, seven, swinging three. Swinging three.
Outsiders Boxing Podcast, live, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you on this beautiful Sunday, 30th, coming up on the 31st of the end of the month, ready for August, as boxing was picking up pretty heavy in Southern California this weekend. RC and Willard's adventures down in SoCal, had boxing going on in the UK, fights over there. Got to saw something done that AJ couldn't do. He had some pretty good fights and a hell of a knockout over on HBO side, Top Rank. News on itself, along with the coverage of what happened the last few days in the boxing world, in and out the ring. But as we mentioned, we were both in the building in Southern California this weekend. And what do you know? Southern California, Southern California, the Prius drivers are going to piss you off. And just got to be careful when you're, or at least 100% clarifying what's in front of you sometimes out there. That's Los Angeles. Well, for me, it wasn't too bad. Oh, God, he had a good old time, I'm telling you. Been a lot of fighters out there. See my man Jacob from Long Beach Friday and Saturday. Got to hang out and talk to a lot of folks out there. A lot of similar projections and things like that. Predictions for the fight. And it was a pretty lit crowd, man. Weigh-in was pretty lit. The Bunny team traveled pretty well from Toledo and I'm guessing in Ohio in general, but they travel pretty well. Big Mikey crowd, but also a nice size of attendance for Robert Easter's side. Currently back in Central California. Probably got back a little while ago, actually around 2 or something like that. So, back to business. And I want to take it to my man. As I mentioned, getting to see D. Willer, had a great time out there. It was a pleasure seeing you out there, good sir. Hopefully, your day is going as well as mine is. Willer, what's going down with you, man?
Oh man, first I want to say everybody good evening. Yeah, definitely, man. Had a blast out there. Got to take the old man, little brother, to the fight. Had a good time. Like you said, we got to do the weigh-ins on Friday. Got to, mingle with a few of the boxers. Got to talk to them a little bit. For a little bit, you know. Sauced, you know. Shout out to JP. Shout out to RC. And my other partner, who seems like all you California people are on the same bullshit. Everybody talks a good game until about 10 o'clock, then nobody answers. Everybody's too drunk. Nobody knows what's going on. JP sold me out. RC sold me out. Duke sold me out Saturday. But it's all good, man. You know, as a grown man, I just learned to roll with the punches. I had a few things up my sleeve so I could was able to do some things, but. Thanks, but man, it was great seeing you, to see that man, that boy Jacob, and had a good time out there, man.
Yeah, I don't know where the sudden shot came towards the end about the Californians and all that stuff. I don't know. Hey, I was wondering where JP was myself. So, but I didn't think all that other stuff that you brought up. Hey, it was a pleasure meeting your pops and your brother, cool people and all. And, yeah, you know, Saturday night after the fight, hey, I wasn't hard to find. But, you know, just, you know, a couple
you
of those drinks, man.
Except that it's, you know, I wasn't able to locate you. I got to text you. So when I text you, what's up? And then you hit me 3 hours later, like, oh, man.
It was not 3 hours later. Stop lying.
Yeah. It, you know, it is what it is, man. So.
It was like 3 minutes later, maybe.
I'm just going to look at my last text to all the California people. JP, Saturday, what's the word? No answer. Let's go to RC, to my boy Duke. Hey, what's the word? The next day, oh, man, my phone died. Let's see what does JC say? Hey, what's the word? Damn, so you done? What's the word? Hey, nothing, man. So it is what it is, dog. Nobody had the word after the fight, but, you know, that's just, I just see that's California people, dog. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's
just know if you come to Texas and I'm around, my phone is going to be charged. I'm answering. I know what's going on, and we'll be able to see the state a little better.
Yeah, for the most part, when you're at a boxing event from about 5 o'clock to 10, you know your phone's going to die unless you got to, you know, you're going to chill next to the wall somewhere like some people do. So no excuses, no excuses. I remember I was asking you where you're going to be at, Willa, and all that. So. No reply, so I was okay. This guy's busy. He's over here turning into a full-on Californian. So, yeah, it's funny how things work out, but, you know, yeah, shit. Hey, man, anything can happen when you're in Southern California having a few too many drinks. So, but it was fun. It was fun, and it was a pleasure. Wish we got to do a little bit more, but, you know, not everybody was out there, and all that stuff. So, yeah, until the next time, we'll be able to get to it, man. But a whole lot of shit going on, Willa, in the boxing world. We got to witness some of the best action up front and live. And let's take it off from the top then, man. Mikey Garcia is one bad cowboy. Winning this fight, almost overlooking Robert Easterby speaking about Errol Spence so much throughout the whole promotion of it all. Didn't really talk too much about Easter and Broner during the interview with Ellie Fetchback, I believe, was saying how it's completely disrespectful for all these questions to be brought up about Spence when he still has to get through Easter. Mikey Garcia at the weigh-in, not looking the most physically imposing guy. Robert Easter mentioned that after the weigh-in. But come fight night, Mikey Garcia put them mitts on him, dropping him in the third round, which no matter what, if he's backing up or feet get caught in the mix, still got put on his ass. From a nice left after a pretty damn good straight right. So, as I mentioned, I expected to see that. Even if I was going for Robert Easter Jr., I was thinking that Mikey was going to walk away with this win. No doubt in anyone's mind. Didn't think that he, you know, pitched a shutout. But he did win the fight unanimously, and I don't think there's any controversy whatsoever behind it. Even if you're a big Robert Easter supporter, it's going to be harder for you to try and score that fight for Easter, no matter how much bias this is put into the whole ins and outs of it all. But Mikey Garcia, Willa, he did it again. That's, you know, two wins for Mikey, two L's for, you know, about billions and what Broner and Easter got going on. He's taken out the boss. And Adrian Broner, he took out the employee in Robert Easter Jr., and now he's going for the security guard. the big homie Earl Spence. Willa, what's your whole take about this, all of it, all of Mikey Garcia, Robert Easter, and Earl Spence in the mix?
Well, we're going to tell the whole story. Last week, made the prediction Mikey Garcia will win. And I said, you know, people were saying he was going to get knocked out. I thought it was going to be majority decision. Mikey Garcia pretty much on the skills. But as we went to the weigh-in on Friday, you know, things just change, you know. When you go in there and it seems like all the black people are going for Easter, all the Mexicans are going for Garcia, they're looking at you, they're giving you the eye. You know, I changed my pick. You know, even though at first, you know, I already said I wanted who I wanted to win. And it's a funny thing because if you've ever heard me talk about Mikey Garcia, you know that I think that he's a top three boxer of our time right now, you know. But Crawford being the
best.
Oh,
yeah. You never showed him.
So I know what he was going to do. I knew it, but deep down my heart, I wanted Easter to win. You know, Easter is as we talked, you know, we got to take a picture with him. Cool-ass dude. As you notice, he always had a smile on his face. Even after the L, he was smiling. He, you know, he stood up for what he believed, stood up for Mikey Garcia after the win. I went in there. I just went in there. Wanted Easter to win. Went into the fight. Easter started out fast. Okay, we're looking good. In fact, I had Easter winning the first two rounds. Then he started getting hit a little bit. Then he started getting hit a little more. Then he got dropped, which was a flash knockdown. You know, everybody in the stands was like, oh, man. Garcia, he's about to knock him out. It's like, I don't think he's about to knock him out. But what he proved was that Mikey Garcia was the better boxer in the thing, in the fight. So he knocked him down, and that's why I told my old man, he's like, this guy, I was like, nah, Easter ain't scared. Easter's about to fight. Easter's going to do what Easter does, and that's what he sort of did. After he got knocked down, he didn't do that much running. Like he was at first, not really running, but moving around. At first, he was trying to do a lot of moving around, a lot of boxing.
Yeah.
He got knocked down. He went back to regular old Robert Easter, standing in the pocket when he could. You know, Mikey Garcia backed him up a few times. And I think Mikey Garcia didn't admit it, but there was a few times where he had him on the ropes and Easter hit him with that left hook. And instead of attacking like he was, Garcia took a few steps back, slowed it down a few times. So I think he felt a little of that power, but Easter definitely, you know, Easter just got beat, man. It was close for a little bit, and then after the knockdown, I think I may have gave Easter one or two more rounds with, you know, a total of four rounds at the most. And, you know, it was good, but it was an excellent fight, man. The crowd was wild. I got to see a little a little dust up. It was a black on black crime going on. The fat boy got whooped by a bunch of young heads. And then, you know, but all the essays were very cordial, especially after their guy won. But I was doing a lot of rooting for Easter, man. And, but it was a great event. Like I said, it was great to see you, man. We got to get the drink, chilled a little bit. Great to see Jacob. It was loud as shit in there, especially for Mikey Garcia, extra loud. I don't think Easter has. We'll talk about that afterwards, I guess. But as far as the fight, it went. Most of y'all, I think you had the unanimous. I think a couple of people had the unanimous. Some people had the knockout. But everybody knew that it was going to be a big order for Easter to, you know, step up in class. You know, and he did. He didn't look that bad.
Yeah.
Like you said, he got beat, and he was taking a lot of shots to the face, and it's like he couldn't hold it. But he went out on his guard. He went out like a G. When asked, he didn't pull a Broner, and that was the thing. You know, the people in the stands, everybody was sitting around, and they were like, "Hey, man, they before Easter talk, they're like, we hope he just accepts the loss and he'll have more fans. And that's what, you know, the Mexican guys are out there. They're like, I just hope he accepts the loss. And he definitely did. Said, hey, man, I took the L. And the guy was better tonight. And he showed a lot of class, just being a grown-ass man about the situation. And,
One thing about that, Willow, was because when he picked up the mic and was on the screen, people started to boo right away just because, you know, he's looked at as the Broner's boy, that if they don't like Broner, they're not going to like him. And then it started to settle down, and as soon as he was done talking, then everybody started clapping for him. So, yeah, he definitely earned the people over while, you know, his boy was on the big screen giving the crowd the double bird over there during that fight.
Yeah, definitely. That was, Broner, you know, like you said, showed a lot of people love when he was walking around. Broner's a cool dude, as we saw. Everybody was pretty cool, man. Everybody that we had met was pretty cool. The only person that wasn't, that I thought was being a bitch out there was the boxing Gio guy. You know, you say what's up to him, and he was like, he was too big to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, he was actually doing something. So the only one acting Hollywood was the blogger. So, hey, man, had a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you said,
the only thing about
L.A. is these motherfuckers can't drive. They want to – everybody's in a fucking rush. You know, that's about it. Hey, the weed is recreational, and, vapes are in the wind. So, yeah, had a good time, man. Definitely had a good time out there. Excellent fight. I don't know. We're not giving grades or nothing. I guess we're just talking about the fight right now. But excellent fight. I wouldn't say fight of the year, but it was by far one of the best live atmospheres that I've been to in a while.
Yeah, and this fight wasn't for the casuals. It was when you talk about a guy like Mikey Garcia, not a really big household name, still is getting his way there, you know, but they know that he's the guy to beat Broner. Okay, they might know that guy because, you know, that Broner's a big name out there, and if you see him lose, you probably have a good recollection of who that guy was. But not the big, everyday fan knows about who Robert Easter was. So when you explain to someone who was fighting, you know, at the event at Staples, not much would know about it. But a hell of a night nonetheless. I'm glad you acknowledged my buying of the drink for Janelle, or he not paying attention to a conversation that we had when we brought him on. So paid that debt. Well, it was an expensive date, to say the least, of the drinks that we got. But, hell of a fight. Hats off to Robert Easter, as you said. You know, he's a young fighter. He's going to be able to bounce back. He's going to be able to continue to make money in the sport and be in some big fights because, as Willa mentioned, though, he represents what we want in a fighter as far as having the mindset of the best got to fight the best at the end of the day, and that's what I'm going to do, even if I'm going to be a huge underdog against a guy that people are saying is going to knock me out. A lot of people have Mikey Garcia knocking out Robert Easter. A lot of people I talked to over there had that same type of feel, so... I knew that Robert East is a world-class fighter. He's not no flash-in-the-pan paper champion. He definitely has talent, and he has a lot of good tools. So I didn't think that there was going to be any sleepage going on in this fight, given the fact that it's two world-class fighters. I figured when you got two good-level athletes, you're going to go to the cards. So I didn't see the stoppage happening, but Robert East, he heard a lot of the whispers going on about how bad he's going to get beat in this fight. He was really given no chance when... I also had a win in the first two rounds. After that, it got a little cloudy. But Robert Easter was definitely a live dog in the fight with that quick check hook that he was able to apply. Mikey did take a couple steps back during that fight. It wasn't a complete walk down. So, you know, Easter had even a couple good body shots or whatever, but just wasn't able to, you know, withstand the firepower coming from Mikey's way because he was pretty lumped up at the end of the fight at the press conference we had. That left eye was swollen pretty nice. So hats off to him. He was even talking about how hard Mikey hits. Well, do we got that clip that I sent you earlier when Mikey Garcia's power is described by one Robert Easter Jr. on his social media handle?
Yeah, let's see if this is it.
That motherfucker can hit. He was hitting hard. Guard! Guard! Motherfucker had me looking like Martin after the fight. Put the glasses back on. Put your glasses back on.
And some of that colorful character who isn't taking it too bad when you realize you lost to a guy like Mikey Garcia, you gotta take the positives out of the negatives, even at times probably as low as the L would be in the sport of boxing. But that's Robert Easter Jr., the guy that, as Willa mentioned, what we've seen, you know, talked to or took a picture with, hella cool dude. As I said, whenever I reach out to Robert Easter, he reaches out back. Big time the fans or nothing like that. So Robert Easter, cool dude, man, and that's why, you know, I was pulling for him in this fight. But, yeah, that was a really funny analogy, going for the prison guard call out for when he was describing how hard Mikey hit. I got a good laugh out of that one. Well, he's a good young dude, man. So it's probably best for him to not take this one so hard on the chin like fighters before have with their first L.
No, definitely, man. He's that just makes me laugh, and that's the type of guy you could see he is, and that shows a lot because he was getting, like you said, Mikey Garcia was punching him, and he fought the whole time. He didn't give up. He didn't go out. You know, like you said, he gave the prison analogy. You either gonna have to fight or get raped, right? So he at least fought it out. He didn't get KO'd, man, and he like you said, he's all smiles, and he makes you feel, you know, it looks like he's taking it good. And that's because even walking out, you know, for some reason, it's like I've got this knack, but I seem to always be by the walk-in. So people walking in, walking out, I'm right there in the mix. And even after the fight, you know, he was smiling, saying what's up to the crowd, you know, just like, hey, just having, enjoying himself, man. So, I don't know if you got the text.
I seen where you were. I seen your when you were posting the videos. I was like, man, you right there where they coming in and going out. And I noticed you do have that natch to be at that area at fights. Like if you somehow, you know, scope out the building and find out where where that area is going to be, and that's where you get ticket spot. What's up with that, man? I was like, man, I should have went over on Willis' side.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I just got lucky, man. You know, like I say, I like to be at the bottom of that first row, and usually the corner seats are the cheaper ones out the thing. So, and they're usually coming out the corner. So, man, I lucked up, and you know, got to see a lot, man. Got to see a lot of good pictures. Got to, you know, talk shit to the guys. Got to send some love, and you know, it was pretty good look, man. But I was saying to check
no
the
doubt,
text
no
now because we've got another guy who Cali sellout. Got another guy that sold me out on Saturday on the line. So,
well, I don't know what I mean. I guess that's the introduction. I don't know who Will is referring to, caller. So I'm gonna take it
if
to
you. If
you
look
and,
on your text, you'll see.
My phone messed up. Remember, so I can't really see nothing on my
breathe
text right now.
Well, we're gonna go to my man. JP went from going to strip clubs to everything to sleep at 9:30, dog. JP, what's happening, man? Did you even get to watch the fight?
Man, I'm just old, fat, and tired. To be honest with you, man, you know, to get me out away from my comforts these days, dude, it take a lot. And I just wasn't up enough, man. I was only going to go to fuck with y'all. I was like, man, I got my boys down there and shit like this. I was like, I start thinking about that $20 parking and all that hustle and bustle a motherfucker got to do. Man, I just said, fuck it. I'm on this couch. I'm going to fry some chicken outside and drink some Coors Lights, man. And I did miss y'all though, man. I wish I really regret that. I really, really, really do. I'm gonna definitely make sure the next time I'm gonna get up for that. It'll come around again. I regret that. But sounds like y'all had a good time though, huh?
Oh no, definitely, man. Hey, JP, I give you a hard time, man. Hey, we're older gentlemen. Well, I'm older. I know it's been plenty of times where I'm just like, hey, man, I just ain't gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as long as you know, the more you know me, the more you know that I'm gonna take shots whenever I feel necessary. And y'all sold me out, but it's an LA thing, Cali thing. You know, y'all boys sleep at 9:30. But it's all good. The weather was nice.
The weather was nice. Wasn't too hot. I wouldn't respect you if you wasn't going in on me, because that's some crappy shit, man. I'd be on you. I'd be on you if it was vice versa. If I was out in Houston and you was like, yeah, nigga, as soon as you get out here, we turning up. Whoopie bam. Then the nigga phone dead and all kind of shit. Nah, that's unacceptable behavior. But so rightfully deserved on my behalf, man. But yeah, I seen the fight, man, and now, y'all was in the building, and now one thing we know about boxing matches, event, being in the building is completely different than the optics from home. So, in my estimation, I took credit from both fighters looked bad to me. So, we got what we expect. I got what I expected out of Robert Easter. I thought we could potentially see a TKO, or you definitely get a UD, a unanimous decision. So we got the UD. I thought he'd knock him down a time or two, which he did. But on Mikey, here's where my discredit comes for Mikey. I realized something in about the 10th round, and it kind of brought me back to the Broner fight. Mikey can't get rid of these guys. So it dawned on me, like, as much as control and as much as he had Robert Easter handcuffed, he had no creativity to get rid of him. He didn't have a chance, in fact, to get rid of him. And that's kind of – now you could say, well, Robert Easter just wasn't opening up at all. You know what I mean? He was fighting to survive. And that's debatable. You know what I mean? That's an argument. That's considerable. But he couldn't get rid of Broner. He wasn't close to getting rid of him. But let's give him credit. He has the ability to handcuff these guys. You know, and this could be these two particular guys. Now, when I'm looking at this handcuff I'm talking about, it seems to me to be a lack of pedigree. Now, you could say them Cincinnati boys out of that Mike Stanford camp could possibly have a lack of world-class pedigree, because these guys can just get discouraged so easily. You know what I mean? That Robert Easter, I'm sitting up watching the TV, I'm like begging him to throw a right hand. It ain't like Mikey finna move. It ain't like he finna do nothing. He right there. He looking flabby around the sides coming in at 135. I don't know what he checked in that night, but the first thing I looked at Mikey is I'm looking at his waist. He not even tight. You know, now, to Mikey's discredit also, it's like he really lacks verity in his game. You know what you're getting with the 1-2. He's not even no guy that can really put you on the ropes and take off on you. You know what I mean? Robert Easter, I heard another person say, I won't take credit for this, but another person said Robert Easter's best attribute is just being 5'11" or whatever the fuck he is with long arms. He really don't have nothing to do. What's Robert Easter's game? Because anybody can jab occasionally when in trouble, when kind of fighting someone off. But aside from that, what does Robert Easter do? Robert Easter gave up his size to Denis Shabakov, who's like 5'5 or some shit. Went to hell and back with him. Like, so I don't even know why we even have Robert Easter on this echelon that we have him. And Mikey, you know, if Robert Easter had a degree higher of pedigree where he wouldn't be discouraged so easily, he could have made that fight so much different, you know, just with a mental ability to say, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to go balls to wall. If I go to sleep, I go to sleep. But let me go out on my shield here. That's what Pauly Malignaggi often talks about, that mental strength. And let's just be honest. We see this in some black fighters where they can get, I call it PTSD. Adrian Broner hasn't recovered since Marcos Maidana hit his ass. He ain't let his hands go since. So every now and again with these fighters, you get a dude, they get fucking hit. You know, now let's talk about it. You know, these dudes is blessed athletically. You know how it is. we all know how it is to be blessed athlete. I see Willa Big, so you know how it is to be like, you know, be a top dog all the time, a lot of your life. A guy like Broner, Robert Easter, where they was balling as kids and football, this, that, and the other, they was top athletes. We ain't none of us expecting to get dropped. We all too smooth and slick for that. But when that shit finally happened, is what your brain says at that point. Does it say retreat, or does it say get back to the basics, or whatever it is? But it seems like it's a question that has to be answered, and a lot of dudes is like, let's make sure that don't happen again by any means necessary. So,
we've seen Easter get up. See, I think as Mikey Garcia is a top pedigree fighter, man. No matter if he, you know, I know you say he doesn't have any kind of imagination when it comes to these punch combos or putting guys out. But I think Easter was fighting. I think Easter was hurt a bunch of times. And he would back up, and he would, every now and then, he would just say, fuck it, and throw that left hook and try to find it. He didn't shell up. And I don't think he went to PTSD. He was just getting beat up, man.
You got to watch that shit on TV. You got to see it on TV.
I was going to ask real quick, JP. I was going to ask, what was the corner advice like? Were you able to get a good pin on Cunningham talking to Robert Easter, kind of giving him some advice that he should hear, or just telling him stuff that he should hear but doesn't want to hear necessarily, instead of, the other way? I didn't get to check any of it on the DVR yet.
They did not go to Easter's corner often. I remember they went late in the fight, maybe 9 or 10. But the most of it, of course, in Garcia's corner. But when they went to Easter's corner, I'd say 9 or 10th round, it was like, hey, man, you gotta put some punches together. You know, you can't fucking win on a jab. This has been a reoccurring theme as of late with black fighters fucking throwing nothing but a jab. You cannot win doing that shit.
Hey, JP, let's calm it down with just the black fighters. That's just these two guys that you're talking about. Because Spence ain't throwing no jabs. I mean, Spence ain't just throwing jabs. Crawford ain't just throwing jabs. Porter ain't just throwing jabs. Wilder ain't just throwing jabs.
Porter don't even know what a jab is.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys, I mean, it's just these two guys that got caught up fighting Mikey Garcia, man. Maybe it's Mikey. You know, Easter ain't never thrown no jabs. And Easter tried to box, and that's not Easter. You know what I'm saying? Easter isn't a boxer. He tried to box. It was working a little bit because he's more athletic, right? It was working early. And then Mikey Garcia figured it out, dropped him, and then Easter went to plan B, or which was his real plan, which is trying to sit in there and throw hooks. And he just started getting beat up. Then he had to start to not get knocked out.
Yeah, Mikey in the first 2 minutes, maybe 2 minutes, 30 seconds of that first round, he wasn't throwing much at all. He was just pretty much figuring out everything that Robert Easter was doing and putting it in the memory bank and working off that. Because I do agree with JP when he talked about the lack of creativity by Mikey Garcia. That's why I always say the guy ain't got shit but four punches, but he does all he needs to do with those four punches that he has. His skill set or his toolbox is very small, but you know, he makes the most out of everything that he does. I mean, lack of creativity or going with whatever works best for him, whatever you call it. But, no, I definitely second that. And, you know, Robert Easter, he just, for whatever lack of a game plan, didn't seem to have, you know, anything more than trying to win a fight off a defensive jab. Mikey's too smart of a fighter to try to beat off a defensive jab. You gotta go at Mikey in combinations, and he definitely wasn't doing that.
Yeah, man, I agree. I was disappointed. I like to see the guys go for it. I will say, as far as the guys, you know, Willa named the top-notch, you know, fighters out there. It was a guy here recently who did that shit too. You know, just jabbed. I can't remember the name. But I don't know, man. Mikey, to me, is nothing but like, and not to discredit him, but Mikey is like Kovalev. He's Kovalev. But 140-pound Kovalev, you know, come forward, off the jab, 1-2 down the pipe, you know. And Kovalev's a good fighter, but it can be deciphered. But you will have to take risk. Andre Ward was willing to take risk, you know what I mean, to get where he wanted to get. So that's what it comes down to a lot of times. And, you know, we can lead it into the Errol Spence thing. I mean, I want to hear what you guys got to say about that, man. But overall, I feel like Robert Easter would have been, if he had the guts, the fucking balls to risk. You know, that's a thing about fighting, man. The guy who loses most time is the dude who's scared is to get hit. You know what I mean? The guy who ain't afraid. That's a thing. If you've been in a few fights, you know that. If you see a guy, you squaring up with him, and you can tell he's scared to get hit, you got him because you can control him with your feints and things like this. So, you know, motherfuckers can't be scared to get hit in the boxing business, man. That's a no-go. You're never going to make it where you're trying to be.
Oh, yeah. And before we move on this one right here, the funny video that Robert Easter put to describe Mikey Garcia's punching power on his social media, if you got to check it out or hear the clip that we played, you're looking at that like, Robert Easter just happy he got a paycheck, or Robert Easter trying to take the best with things that are coming his way instead of being more heavy on himself after his first L, like we've seen with other fighters when their O went out the door.
Yeah, I seen it, RC. I seen it, you know, and that's cool and all. You know, if that happened and he actually, you know, went out there and went for it, at least to some degree, I ain't got no problems with him. But if you don't throw me fucking 10 right hands the entire fight, I'm sorry, man. I mean, it's not nothing I got for you. If you don't at least throw that right hand to follow up and try to have some impact, throw something with some impact, some emphasis, what can I say for you? You feel me?
Oh, for sure. Now, I feel you on that. And, I mean, I guess we'll take it to Willa first and we'll swing it around to JP. Willa, this whole Mikey Garcia versus Errol Spence thing might be spoken to existence sooner or later, as much as Mikey's serious about it and as much as I'm sure Errol Spence would be able to willingly take that fight. But what's next for both fighters? I mean, we could definitely see Robert Easter get some pick-me-up wins after this L right here. But for Mikey Garcia, he's talking about shooting to the moon, and if he don't hit the moon, he's going to land somewhere in the stars because he's going for the big fights right now.
Man, now what I did see is like what JP was saying. He couldn't get Easter out of there, and I think that's his punching power, even though Easter said he was punching hard. But going up another
hard
another two divisions, right? He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that at all, especially after that. You know, I was a guy that said Garcia would win, and I think he believes he will win, and I think he's probably got the skills. Skills-wise, he's the better fighter, but no, Spence is in there. He can walk him down, beat him up. It'll be a good fight, but yeah. But I think it's happening. You know, Garcia, he says it's his next fight. Spence was there. Spence says if he wants it, he can have it. You know, he's not going to be able to fight Garcia or Porter yet. And he's definitely not fighting Crawford. So I can see him doing that fight, and he thinks this is – Spence believes this is a way for him to get more fans, more Mexican fans, because, you know, we were there. We saw a lot of people got booed. I think every black person, every black boxer that they showed got booed except Errol Spence, right? He didn't get booed. Those Mexicans – They have respect for him. You know, it wasn't loud. You know, it wasn't loud cheers, but it wasn't no boos, you know. And even when he was trying to, you know, he's going against their guy in there. So that shows that they got a lot of respect for him, and I think he wants that fight to get a few of those fans. he'd be way too big, I think. Even though Mikey Garcia, even though he was the smaller guy on Saturday, sort of, I guess as far as stature, he was the thicker guy, you know. So that Spence will beat the hell out of him. I think he's too small. I don't know why he's doing this, but he's going to do it. That's what I'm saying right now. If the fight happens, more than likely, I'll be swaying back towards Garcia's way. That's just the way I am. I fuck with Garcia. He's really one of my top guys. I just like Easter, and the video we saw makes me like him a little more. But we'll see. Like you said, is this him just wanting to get a payday, and that's why he was smiling? He got $500,000 plus a little bit. He took $500,000.
Good check on that, Willa. Yeah, I was wondering what he was getting paid. Good stuff on that one.
Yeah,
so you, and everyone always talks about those, you know, under the table checks, those bonus checks from old Al Heyman. So I was wondering what he got. We were actually talking about that on Friday too. So 500K plus, that's not bad for Easter. That's really good.
Yeah, and Garcia got $1 million, probably plus $1 million plus whatever.
100% for sure.
Yeah, so he took, you know, Easter took sort of the less money to fight. So I don't know if it was he just finally got a payday, $500,000. Are you gonna throw it all away for $500,000? No, just the way he was the whole time, the way he seems like he's just a smiling guy, a good guy, a jokester that doesn't take himself too seriously, and that might be, you know, that might be a detriment to him. But we'll see. We'll see where he goes next. I'm not sure. He'll probably have some build up. He's still, like you said, still young. I think he's a good fighter. I just think he went against one of the best fighters in the game and won four rounds. So I think he won four rounds. He was two rounds away from a draw. Well, and then he got knocked down, you know, one of the best fighters in the game. I know JP don't think Mikey Garcia is one of the best, but I think he is the prodigal son. So Easter can do. I think Easter's got time. I want to see him jump back, bounce back. And he'll be able to get some more belts. Like, Garcia's going up. He's going to eventually have to get rid of those belts. And so belts will be plentiful here in the next couple of years. And he'll be able to get them. And maybe he'll fight. Maybe he'll be able to fight Lomachenko and get another, or and finally get a bigger payday. So that's how I see it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get some of these big fights. Because when I think even Manny Pacquiao's name is in that list for what might be next for Mikey Garcia, even though he wants the Spence fight, that's out there. Might try and go for that one first, but when you're shooting for A, you always had to have B and C covered. So the Lomachenko name's always going to be around there just because where they're both at right now. So we can expect nothing but big fights from Mikey Garcia moving forward. And this fight, as I mentioned, it had a big fight feel to it, even though it wasn't the biggest name in all of the combat sports world. But for the hardcore boxing fan, you got to find out a lot about Robert Easter when he's in the ring with a tough competition and upper echelon level of a fighter like Mikey Garcia, because he definitely, like I said, the kid only has four punches, but what he does great is on another level from what other people do that's good. So I've tipped my cap to Mikey Garcia for the impressive performance, which I expected him to do. So he did everything I expected and exceeded a little bit more, to be honest with you, with the knockdown of Robert Easter, because it was such a, you know, textbook type of a 1-2 follow-up from that, you know, put Robert Easter on his ass. And I just question about the, not where the heart's at for Easter, but I looked at it like just a jokester guy who's not taking this L too hard on the chin, which could be detrimental, like you said, Willa, but at the end of the day, you would think that Robert Easter is just a goofy guy in Adrian Broner's crew and didn't know that he actually could fight. So if you want to take the whole, if you want to try and go with the angle of you learn from a loss, hopefully that's the case with Robert Easter, because you've got some years under his belt to make money in the sport with competition that's out there for sure. For Mikey Garcia, he needs to be careful in moving in whatever direction he goes to moving forward, because starting off with a guy like Spence, now that could be real detrimental, unlike a questioning character like Robert Easter's facing. So we'll see how that goes. But another guy that we met out there, Willa, when I actually first seen you, you got to see the one from El Fuego that rises in Miami right now, coming off his suspension just from getting knocked out in the 6-month time frame that is given when you lose a fight by KO in boxing. Ortiz added in 7, showed up there, and Willa got to meet him right before he met me, took a picture with the big man. And, you know, when we were at the weigh-in, when those two big dudes got up there and went face-off after the weigh-in, you knew there was going to be some bombs in this fight. Luis Ortiz making very quick work off of a textbook 1-2. And I think that's why Luis Ortiz is such a dark horse in the division, because he boxes like a lighter weight class with the skill set that the big man uses, and he still has power behind it. You know, Luis Ortiz is definitely still a dark horse for anybody in the top 3-4. And, I mean, he showed it this weekend. I definitely expected Ortiz to go out there and take care of business in quick fashion, because didn't really show no respect to the Russian Razvan Funjanu. Didn't give him much of a chance in this fight. And for obvious reasons, he ran himself into problems by getting knocked the fuck out by Luis Ortiz. Set up with the jab, get him with the right. And that was it for the big fella. Falling through the bottom rope, crowd went pretty lit off that one. And it was a hell of a comeback fight for one Luis Ortiz. Willa, when you met the big man before you met me, what was your take on Luis Ortiz? Because when a lot of the times when we're at these boxing events, we see these boxes, and as we were there on Friday at the weigh-in, you know, I'm pretty much sizing up every fighter I've seen there, because, you know, I'm about the same. I'm in the division in my own world. So in my own world, I'm in the division with these guys, and I think I could beat up some of them, but that's just for funnies. But, no, when you're seeing Luis Ortiz, you kind of got to be looking at him like how I'm looking at these dudes, since we're similar size. What did you think about Luis Ortiz first and foremost, and what did you think about his quick performance that he had in only 2 rounds coming back after that L to Deontay Wilder?
Well, you're right. You know, as a man full of testosterone and ego, you check these guys, you eye everybody, and you see, hey, would I be able to get this guy? Luis Ortiz, my first impression of him was that he wasn't as big as I thought he was. He's actually in pretty good shape. It's like he had a slim body. It's sort of weird to say, because he's a real big dude. Now, he's big. But I just thought he would be, you know, rounder. You know, he is sort of, you know, he is built like, you know, like a young guy. But you could tell when you look very closely, you know, you could tell that he's a little old. That's how I looked at him. But, you know, I thought he did very good. He was one of the highlights of the night with the KO, the sleeper, the one-hitter quitter that everybody got to see. And then, you know, as he's walking out, he gives me – I was like, hey, Ortiz. He gives me the look because he remembers talking to me. Good dude.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, good dude. Yeah, so –
Well, yeah, hopefully. He probably looked at you and remembered you, because you were like, you know, a big dude like he was compared to everybody else there. So, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, it was good, you know, highlight of the night. My dad and, you know, that was there. You know, they enjoyed watching that. And, yeah, he's probably, like we said, he's probably number 3 or 4 in the division. And we'll talk about these other guys. So, you know, I say he's 3 or 4, but
maybe Dylan White is in there, so he's at least top five cause if we're Adam Fury in there. But he's in the mix. And, yeah, good way to come back, showcase fight in front of a large crowd, KO, A-plus, man. A-plus for your guy, King Kong Ortiz.
Oh, for sure. And another thing about it was, I mean, you were there, Willa. We were both in the same area whenever they, you know, they announced him on the scales. And when he came out to the ring, that fan base, they were on pins and needles for anything that Ortiz was going to do because they wanted to see a big knockout, which they end up getting. But, yeah, it was a big pop for Ortiz, and then it got silent because of the boxing style that he has. That first round didn't have much big highlights out of it. But when Ortiz found the distance, and, you know, he has that Cuban style for being a big man, smart boxer, but when he puts them big heavy paws on dudes, you see what happened. I mean, when he knocked down my man, he thought that, I mean, if you watch the fight, you thought that he was going to get right back up because he was on his knees immediately. And you thought he'd put that foot over and just stand up, but he ended up taking that Bermain Stavern spill. So ass up through the bottom ropes. And, I mean, I didn't expect nothing less. So when it happened, I expected it. But, yeah, that crowd – they were just they were on pins and needles for Luis Ortiz knockout because the whole mystique about the guy was kind of brought into heavyweight existence when he took out Jennings with the uppercut or in the fifth or sixth round. I can't remember off the top of my head, but coming off of what Vladimir Klitschko did going life and hell with him for 12 rounds, Luis Ortiz made quick work of, had Wilder in trouble. Ortiz has been out there spoken on about how
now,
he talks about, you know, AJ don't want to fight nobody and all that. But go ahead, Willa.
Hey, what I did find very disrespectful, see, I wonder if you noticed this. My dad was like, what the hell? Why? Did you notice when he comes in, they show, like, him getting knocked down and knocked out? Why
that
are you
was
showing
ridiculous.
That?
That was fucking
like,
ridiculous.
They show like I watched he's walking to the ring, I think, or before, and then I think while he was walking to the ring, or maybe it was right before.
Yeah, no,
but
it was.
The highlight.
Because
my dad was like, man, they showed this boy getting knocked out. I was like, what? They showed that. Yeah. Like, what are they doing? So I thought it was pretty fucked up.
Oh man, no, good point, Willa. Good point. I hope they didn't show that shit on TV, because when I seen that,
no, I think that's what it was. I mean, that was on TV. That's what we were watching.
What
they were watching on TV.
Oh, man. Because when I was there, it was funny. It was a dude that was sitting behind me. He looked dead on ass like a mixture of Lil Uzi Vert and Quavo. Pretty icy dude, but we was talking the whole time. He was real vocal and all that. And it was like, when all that went down, I was like, yo, what kind of video production these motherfuckers got? They're showing him getting dropped by Wilder and shit. Show his fucking highlights of knocking dudes out that's in the highlight reel. You're trying to prompt the fucking guy up. It's the last thing I want to do is if I'm showing up to my wedding and having a video thing on display, show images of me being a good man. Don't show party images of me, in a hypothetical feature, you know, sniffing fucking cocaine off of strippers' tips or some shit like that. Show some good photos and videos of me and things like that. For them to do that, putting Luis Ortiz getting knocked down and dropped by Wilder, that was the most ridiculous fucking display of audio video tech I've ever seen in boxing and real recent, because I guarantee fucking to you, when they do the promos for Canelo and Triple G moving forward, they're not going to show Gennady Golovkin getting that huge overhand right from Danny Jacobs yelling in his face when they're trying to make you buy a fight against Canelo Alvarez. You'll see the difference when it comes to promoting stuff like that. Maybe they didn't take it so fucking their job serious enough to give Luis Ortiz credit that's due, as we mentioned. Top five heavyweight in the game, even though losing to Deontay Wilder. But for them to have that kind of, I mean, that was just stupid. I'm going to look at the film on DVR, and if they play that shit on TV, that's ridiculous. That's terrible. How are you going to promote somebody to be this big heavyweight monster? He's King Kong. But you're going to show him getting knocked out. That's stupid. Good point, though, Will. I'm glad you mentioned that because I completely forgot about it. You know, I after a couple drinks talk back, you just forget about these things. But, no, good shit for you to point that out because, I don't know, it kind of went by everybody or it kind of went by a lot of people where it just reminded them of a great fight, I guess. But when you're putting up a fighter and trying to prop him up to be this killer, you ain't going to show him getting knocked on the ground multiple occasions. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. I thought that was pretty. That was Bush League. That's what we like to call Bush League. So, yeah, no, I just remember that. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's what they were watching. What they were TV.
Well, I mean, look, let's keep it in the heavyweight division since we could just move on from that subject, but kind of keep it intertwined with what's going on today. Promoter and representative of Tyson Fury was in talk with Shelly Finkel and the side of Deontay Wilder of getting a fight going on in possibly November or December. So heavyweight business picking up. Ortiz has got a W, but, you know, Tyson Fury's been on social media running his mouth as he always does, but sometimes he does bring some truth in there. And he did say that, you know, when he came with the video apologizing for the UK to Deontay Wilder, that was some funny stuff because he was talking about other fighters being pussies who were afraid to take a fight that he would be willing to or having the nuts to on his social media. I'm just going verbatim here. But Tyson Fury said that if you send me a contract, I'll sign it in 10 seconds flat, right in his mouth. I don't think Fury is the kind of guy to be bullshitting because he did this with Vladimir Klitschko and successfully took all the straps off him. But we can't get the A.J. Wilder fight this year that we thought we were going to get. But we might get Wilder versus the man who beat the man and Tyson Fury taking the straps off the heavyweight man for over 10 years in Vladimir Klitschko. And the Gypsy King looks at himself as the heavyweight, not the paper champ. That Anthony Joshua got off guys like Charles Martin. But that in itself is him getting the strap off Charles Martin. Tyson Fury got it off of legendary Vladimir Klitschko. Wasn't the most compelling fight. Both fighters went on a heavy hiatus trying to get a rematch and all that stuff from moving forward. But Willa, Tyson Fury actually has a fight coming up, I believe, in late August as well. I got to double check on that, but excuse me. He said that he was going to fight three times this year. And if he could get this fight out the way in August, do you think there's any way that we could get this Wilder Fury promotional deal going down by December at least? Because it seems like this one would have fireworks written all over it when it comes to the promoting that they're going to do for this fight, because Tyson Fury is going to talk shit. Wilder's not going to back down from it. And, I mean, we all know that Tyson Fury is on that hype Irish man type of Conor McGregor shit when it comes to the media and all that type of stuff. The man showed up to a press conference in a fucking Batman suit before. You know, he took his shirt off and bragged about how fat he was against a guy like Vladimir Klitschko who's in tip-top shape. It's never about the buff guy in a fight in boxing. Because Tyson Fury definitely has boxing skill and for sure can outbox a lot of guys in the division. I don't know if he can do it over consecutive 12 rounds against a guy like Deontay Wilder. But, hey, Willis, are you hyped about this news? Because we know one guy will be willing to take that fight. And without question, I think Tyson Fury has proven that. He might want some money right now. Might be the case. But, hey, nonetheless, he's down to get this fight, unlike somebody else who says they are. But they're really not. What's your take on this whole news that's been coming out about with Deontay Wilder and his fight against Tyson Fury for possibilities of December?
If we're keeping it 100%, which we like to do here, Fury is the lineal champ. I don't know if he retired, so he might have lost that. But we knew he wasn't going nowhere. He's really the lineal champ. All due respect. He looked like shit his last fight. If I'm Wilder and I'm fighting him on his next fight, I make it happen. I make it happen ASAP.
Oh, yeah.
But you said he has another fight in August. So, if I'm Wilder, I sit back and I look at this fight that he has in August. I see if he still looks like shit. If he still looks like shit, I take the fight. If he looks like the old Fury, I hold off on that. There's a big payday right around the corner. And
oh yeah,
I would if I'm Wilder on some, you know, on some business shit. I'm not going to put all that money, my biggest payday times of, you know, times two, right? Times
got,
two.
Got
or three.
Your business suit on right now, okay?
I wouldn't do it. I think Wilder can get him, but a good Fury, a top notch Fury, that's a good ass fight, and. If he can just,
really is,
you know, so. He might be able to box his way out of there. So you never know. That's a tough fight. The Fury that we just saw, yeah, Wilder probably sleeps in pretty early. But, you know, that probably isn't happening. I don't really see that happening. If it does, that's great. I'll be hype on it. But Wilder, there's that. We got to keep it real. Wilder has that big payday right around the corner. They're not jeopardizing that. For no Fury, who everybody knows is the man at the division.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, man. Like, hey, people out there give LeVar Ball respect for saying he never lost, but Tyson Fury, for real, never lost. And he beat the guy that beat all the guys in over 10 years of the heavyweight division in boxing. He beat that guy.
Hey,
he
real quick, Marcy.
Yeah.
Your boy, LeBron, did he not just pull the Lonzo Ball? I mean, the LeVar Ball move by doing the like dunk contest during his son's game. Isn't that even worse? That's worse than anything LeVar Ball has done.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's even worse. That's even worse for sure for LeBron to go out there trying to, like, I mean, there's a bunch of 13-year-old seventh graders. LeBron, you're going out there doing some dunk contest shit and showing out major. It's like, dang, bro. I mean, yeah, you know, you wouldn't see anybody in other events like that. I mean, let's say, shit, I don't know, if Julio Jones went to his kid's Pop Warner game and is, you know, a playing quarterback scrambling away from a whole 13-year-old Pop Warner defense and running for a touchdown. You know, LeBron,
yeah.
That drama queen,
but
that
back,
man
hey,
talks about still in the life. Yeah,
I'm
glad
we
got to address that real quick.
Yeah, just drop that.
but you know what, Willa? You, as you mentioned, big money fights around the corner. But if you're Deontay Wilder, do you think taking this fight with Fury will get that UK fan base? A lot of those UK fans, they're hardcore boxing fans. That boxing scene in the UK is the number two sport to them over there. For over in America, you know, we got some other shit going. But why not get the UK fan base to probably walk out giving you some respect if you beat Tyson Fury, because a lot of them don't respect anything of the resume from Deontay Wilder, even though he took out a guy like Luis Ortiz. Public awareness from the UK to make this big fight with Joshua seem even bigger. Like, whoa, you know, Deontay Wilder would be the fucking Dragon Slayer if he took out Tyson Fury, the man who beat the man. Now he's coming for the English muffin GQ model, who probably doesn't have a back pocket for some weird reason. And taking his straps and being the number one guy. That, to me, seems like some shit that you probably could put on a Hollywood script. Because that's what it's looking like if I'm Deontay Wilder, looking at it from the glorified standpoint instead of, you know, the business suit label. I mean, I don't know. We got JT on
it
with
the
story.
I mean, you could also
go ahead and touch up on it and then, swing it around.
Yeah, you could also get get all the belts from Joshua, then beat the man that beat the man. You know, not that he's not, I'm not saying he's he should never fight Fury, but the big payday, you don't want to, something happens, you know, anything can happen. This is, you know, these are heavyweights. You get hit, he gets hit, knocked out, or you never know. So don't, he's not going to put that money up, but he'll fight him. And it'll be the same deal for all the marbles. And he'll probably win that.
But Willa, the one thing about this one is like, hey, I agree with you on that for sure. With all the fighters in the world, you could make that kind of investment in long term. But a guy like Tyson Fury, he's been on the questionable can he stay in shape type shit. You know, as we mentioned, the whole 21-month layoff with Vladimir Klitschko and a rematch that never happened, him messing around with cocaine and flaunting about it. Like, when you have an opportunity to get a paycheck off a guy like Tyson Fury, you got to take advantage of the time, because ain't no for sure thing that Tyson Fury doesn't get out of shape, start posting some Afro Man because I got high shit, and not get the big money opportunity that you could have got, let's say, 6 months prior to when you would be looking for that fight on the up route. So, you know, I think that's one thing to take into consideration as well, because you ain't always going to have Fury around. He's in it right now, but we've seen him getting a hiatus because, you know, he did get fed. He did get that bank filled up with the Vladimir Klitschko fight, and he's got some cachet to him. So I think that's one thing Wilder would definitely have to take into consideration if you're actually looking into getting in the business of fighting Tyson Fury.
No, that makes sense. But I think Tyson Fury is around for a couple of more years. I think he's only 31 to about 33 years old. He's not that old. And there's no other big fight unless he's going to fight like Ortiz. He doesn't have any other big fights. And it'll just take a couple of fights, and he'll be able to fight Fury after Joshua. I just don't see it happening. If I was them, I'm not putting all that money on the line to fight Fury at this point in time.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel you. When I talk about Wilder getting the glorified, you know, Hollywood send-off by beating the man who beat the man, then beat the guy with the belt, Tyson Fury could look at it from his own Hollywood angle saying, I beat the man who was reigning for 10 years, and I beat the young guy that everybody says is the most baddest man on the planet right now. So I could see Fury definitely doing that fight with Wilder, looking to win the fight and then taking another little break until he decides to get back in shape. We still got JP with us and his thoughts on all this because, hey, heavyweight business, it felt like it was at a high point for this last few, last few months, last few years with Ortiz in the mix. Parker was looking real nice. AJ, Wilder, Fury, all that. The flame got a little deflated when we realized we couldn't get the AJ Wilder fight that we all thought was a go. There's a lot of air out of the big fight for the year, but I think if they could get a fight with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, that to me has a big fight feel to it. And I'm looking forward to that one because I don't think that the whole Joshua nice guy image against Deontay Wilder, loud black American angle would have been so great without public awareness of who this guy really is when it comes to Deontay Wilder. Now you're going to have a Conor McGregor shit-talking like press conference if you could get Fury and Wilder going. And I think in today's world where a lot of it's the YouTube and other type of meme media that would make the most of some of this Barstool Sports, for example, that goes to the younger generation, and when they see a lot of this disrespectful shit, it's more funny than it is where you look at it from a second angle type of an audience. So I think that Wilder, being the American definitive against the loud UK Gypsy King, I think that can make a lot of waves moving forward. JP, are you with us, and you got any take on this whole heavyweight business, man?
Yeah, I mean, not overly impressed with Ortiz. I didn't know anything about the guy he fought. Looked like a typical high school or, D4 college offensive lineman you find anywhere. As far as the whole Wilder-Fury potentiality, I'm going to side with Willa and say you don't risk Fury and his ugly style all night when you got Joshua potentially as your next fight. But one thing's definitely apparent to me. Now, I don't know whether to say Deontay don't want no smoke, but somebody don't want that smoke with Dominic Brazil. Now, Dominic Brazil, this seems like a seemingly easy fight to make. He's a PBC fighter.
Yep.
Him and Deontay. Yeah. And Bad Blood, Brazil's been calling him out for over about a year or more vocally on Instagram or whatever platform you want to catch it. Brazil's on his ass. And been calling
they had
him
that
out
hotel incident.
Exactly. Bad Blood with the family, some kind of family incident in the hotel. So, but you
yep.
just don't hear no Dominic Brazil coming up. So, what y'all think about that, though?
No, that's a good one to mention because Dominic Brazil is definitely in the mix when you're talking about, you know, top 10 if you're looking at it realistically. Big dude, he's definitely got some potential to him. And not only that, but Big Baby ain't making the travel, and he's also went the route of talking shit about Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua, so... That's another guy with the Bad Blood type of label in the heavyweight division that can also be put in the mix. Not saying that either or would get the W's upset over a guy like Wilder moving forward, but those two definitely want to take into consideration because Brazil, he's one of those. I mean, he has some real disrespectful things to say about Deontay Wilder. Willis?
Yeah, man, and you know, in Brazil, to my knowledge, he hasn't lost. I mean, the last I remember is somebody in between the Amir Mansour fight, but he definitely, you know, beat a guy who had some momentum at the time in Amir Mansour. So I'm looking forward to
it. Oh, yeah, he looked good, too.
Yeah, and this is a big dude, man. This is one of them naturally big Samoan types. And I can see him giving Deontay.
About 6'7", big 6'7", or something like that?
Yeah, and got some hands. Some agility. I could see him giving Deontay a bad night.
No, for sure.
No.
The way he came in his last fight, he definitely looked impressive because I wasn't overly looking forward to. I mean, I thought that he was gonna, you know, struggle a little bit on the down and outs at that point in time, seeing a flabby dude. But the way he pulled it off, I mean, it's just complete boxing technique, and it works with the heavyweight division because of everybody has power to get somebody. So he did look really good his last fight, though. And a fight with Wilder, I mean, stylistically, we probably think that it would be in the, it would what obviously with when it comes to skills, wouldn't be in Wilder's favor, but. You know, just that knockout power that you got to worry about with Wilder and the high wave that Wilder is riding right now. He's on a pretty damn big cloud of momentum right now in the heavyweight division. So, Willa, you got something on that?
Yeah, I would say when he fought Mansour, that was the old guy, right?
It was the old guy in the old fight. I can't even remember what date it was. It was I'll have to check.
No, but it was
forever ago.
But it was the old Mansour was the old guy that dropped him a couple of times, correct? Did Brazil got dropped in that fight?
The recollection.
He's fighting this old dude, Mansour, who is 46 right now. Yeah, that's who it was, and he got dropped. You're saying he looked good, but I think he came back at the end. And dropped the old guy, sort of like, you know, it was sort of on the level of Wilder versus Ortiz, where he was getting to almost beat up by the old guy, and then the old guy ran out of fumes, and then he knocked him out, I believe. I believe that's how that went. So, Brazil, I don't know. I think Wilder knocked him out pretty easily. I think Wilder isn't trying to give him that money. Seems a little personal, but we'll see. I mean, you're right. That seems like an easy fight to make. There probably is a reason why they're not putting it on. They're not making the fight, but I don't think they're scared of Brazil. That is easy work, very easy.
No. I feel you. Like I said, I put the wave and the momentum cloud that Deontay Wilder's on right now. You know, knocking out Severn the way he did in that first round stopping Luis Ortiz, the dark horse of that heavyweight division, quote unquote. You know, Wilder's riding hella momentum right now, so we'll see what he does. He says, you know, some dudes think they can pick him apart and give him a rough night, but you know, once that right hand lands, game plans change. So it's not the most pretty, but probably the most devastating at this point in time. You know, heavyweight continuation. Joseph Parker coming into the ring after getting his quote-unquote unanimous decision loss to Anthony Joshua, AJ Protectors, because we all know how I feel about that scoring in that fight. Nonetheless, back in the ring with Dillian White, coming off his really big knockout on Lucas Brown. It's that interesting. We're going from three different subjects still in the heavyweight division. But we got all this Twitter talking with Crawford and Spence. Heavyweight division's popping, and they're not all friends. Like how a lot of dudes are cool at the welterweight division and other divisions like that, where there are a lot of, you know, it's a lot more drama at the heavyweight division. But well, I had a hell of a time in L.A. I did not get a chance to see this entire fight. I remember Simon was telling me about it when I was out and about during that day, and I seen highlight clips for myself of the fight. But that doesn't justify what really happened in the fight, because here there was a lot of bullying from Dillian White. Borderline things that happened in this fight to put a stamp on the entire fight from a well-judged perspective is something I cannot give right now. But from what I've seen, I mean, Parker, not real dangerous to me. Dillian White has a little bit more danger factor when it comes to, you know, punching power, things like that. Parker stays a little bit too much behind the jab, almost like the smaller of the heavyweights with a different style, but still giving dudes problems. These are heavyweights at the end of the day. Don't matter about the style. But Dillian White coming off a big win, it makes you question how good was Anthony Joshua's win over Parker. If he could do nothing like that in what Dillian White did, it's always going to be the fucking, hey, if Luis Ortiz looked like shit this Saturday, you think people will be giving Deontay Wilder as much credit as he's gotten for knocking out a guy like Luis Ortiz? Fuck no. Ain't nobody getting no free pass off of a bad performance from the other side, W. You got to put in a little bit of question of what kind of W that was at the end of the day when it comes to beating Joseph Parker. I'm sure Janelle would like to talk about it if he was here, because he's a big AJ supporter and takes shots at Wilder. I'm just saying, I didn't expect Joseph Parker to lose the way he did. I thought it would have been a head-to-head, toe-to-toe. Well, I don't know who won. Did it go this way? Did it go that way? But Dillian White, he put his stamp on it. And a little surprising, to say the least, even though I kind of expected it. The weekend was a blur, and I for damn sure wasn't going to be changing plans throughout my day to see what was going on over the UK, because as I, from a former example of the Super Series we had with Gashiev's weak performance and me scheduling my day around that time for those fights, I missed out on this one because I wasn't going to fall for the same trick twice, even though it was on my misfortune because the fights were so good, even with the Carlos Takam fight on the under. The heavyweight news right after that. It's like heavyweight news, heavyweight news, heavyweight news, heavyweight news. Give me that Oprah meme for that shit. Because it's going down. But Willa, after that performance, I'm not sure if you had got able to check it out throughout your time getting back home and all that. I didn't, as I mentioned. I just seen highlights. But, man, one, were you surprised that Dillian White wins? Because he's probably looking to be next in line for Wilder also. Two, does that performance of Joseph Parker take anything away from the, I mean, basically given W to Anthony Joshua, I mean, by as unanimously as it was, when I thought it was a more competitive fight he had with a guy like Joseph Parker. Your take on it, my man.
Yeah, I got to – I was checking out the fight while I was chilling at the pool. So I was, you know, I was in and out on it. But what it looked like was Parker at first was very fast in there. You forget how that he is sort of like a faster guy. So he's in there. He's fast.
Oh, yeah.
Then he started getting roughed up. Then he got dropped, and then he got dropped again, and then he dropped what's his name at the end. White ran out of gas totally at the end. He survived, barely hung on to the 12th. But it was an all right fight. But it went down like I thought it was gonna go down. White, probably not being the more skilled guy, but just more the tougher guy that wants to bring the fight to you. And that's what he did. Parker, still a young guy, but we see that he's not the real deal. He drops down. But White, that just makes him a top five guy and puts him in the mix for fighting for a title, I think. You know, he lost to Joshua 3-4 years ago, something like that. So his last loss was a long time ago. He doesn't look good, but he's got to bring the fight. He's a tough guy. He's out the street.
That last fight that he had with Joshua's last L, it's still not that far away from the public because they're like, hey, if Wilder doesn't accept for the April date that they have at the O2, which they have scheduled for extra seating, which everyone's thinking is for Wilder, he says the AJ side says that they have no problem having a big rematch with Dillian White. I find it as crazy as it is to hear that myself, bro, but, I mean, he might be in the mix more than we think as far as not only be able to potentially fight Wilder next, but for some reason, the UK fan base loves the idea of a rematch with him and Joshua. I mean, your thoughts on that, man?
No, I mean, I think he deserves a shot at whoever. If they're not going to fight, he should be the next man up. I believe that him and Ortiz, I think, you know, more him. You know, Ortiz lost, you know, but more him. He deserves a shot. So I'm not mad at that. If they want to see it, I think that's a good fight, I think. I think when the first one went down, White was looking good until he ran out of steam and got dropped. So we'll see. He wants to fight. I think that's a good fight. I'm not mad at that if the Wilder fight doesn't happen for any reason. I think Joshua can lose that fight also. So I'm not mad at that.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, we could, like, keep going off of this heavyweight news, but I want to take it another direction since it's just been – I mean, damn near a heavyweight show with Robert Easter, but one fight that got announced as of recent was something that should be on the radar for a big fight of the year. When it comes to the entirety of the welterweight division being stacked with Spence, Bud Crawford coming in, but you still got guys like Danny Garcia and Sean Porter in that same mix. You know, shit. Even Pacquiao's last performance against Lucas Matisse. He's somewhere on the bottom half, but it's heavy on top. So the fight getting announced with Danny Garcia and Sean Porter, scheduled for September. With Benavidez and Durrell on the undercard. Intrigued on this one, Willa, and on a 1 to 10 level or whatever kind of a grade you want to give it. How big a fight is this fight with Sean Porter and Danny Garcia for the vacant, I believe, WBC title? Because that guy Keith Thurman disappeared. What's your thoughts on this one, Willa, before we get ready to close out here?
Hey, I think it's a good fight. Our second tier, good, but they're good second tier fighters. Just our lower first tier. I'll say lower first tier guys. Smaller.
Danny like
Garcia.
JB, huh?
Yeah, maybe, you know, like the JB exactly. Danny Garcia, a smaller guy, and Porter, a short guy out here as we see. But, yeah, I think it's a good fight. Great fight for boxing. And I think both of these guys, they deserve their shot at the belt. And they both, I think, have agreed to fight Spence afterwards. I believe yesterday or today, Porter said that he would fight. Well, never mind. I take that back. He said he would fight Spence, but not next, maybe. So we'll see. But that's Thurman's coming back. I saw him doing some heavy bag work. He was looking sort of weak, or the mid work. I mean, he was looking sort of weak. So we'll see what he looks like when he comes back. Yeah, it's a good fight. I say that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I mentioned Errol Spence and Bud Crawford, Danny, and Sean. But really, Keith Thurman is the number one guy, almost as we talked about with Tyson Fury in the heavyweight division, being the guy who beat the guy and has not been beaten by any guy. So if he could come back and be anything like he used to be before, I'm not the biggest fan of Keith Thurman, but I'll be really, really happy to get him in the mix because, you know, I want that don't duck me, son, Keith Thurman over the man who is, you know, enjoying life a little bit too much with his wife and all that. Not mad at it, but I'm just saying. I'm a boxing fan, goddammit, and I want the boxer back. But we'll see how that all goes. But, Willa, man, let's get ready to close out here. As we mentioned, we got our time restrictions going on here with Blog Talk and all that good stuff. But, hey, man, all that other shit aside, it was cool meeting you. You were as cool in person as we've been over the last 4 or 5 years, starting at On the Grind. And we've been a tag team for a long time, man. And it was never no different than it was when we first met each other to how we've seen each other these last 2 days. And as much as I tip my cap to Mikey, I want to tip my cap to you for being such a gentleman and all that good stuff, hooking me up with that very nice pin that you had on Fight Night. Had me very lit after that. I was enjoying myself really much so that I was in the comfort of a Lazy Boy seat instead of the one that I had because of the state of mind I was in. But on the Rilla Rilla Willa, it was really good meeting you, man. Hell of a time out there in L.A. this weekend. And your brother and your pops, it was really nice, man. Whenever they you introduced me as R.C., but I introduced myself to them as my name of Roy. Because, you know, R.C. is a radio personality, but you got the Roy for me because that's the real person I am. And it was a pleasure meeting you, bro. And I had a hell of a time in Vegas. I don't know if anybody followed my Snapchat, but I was with some big titties. Anyway, it was a good time in L.A. And, Willa, it was a motherfucking pleasure meeting you, my guy.
Definitely, man. Feelings mutual. Had a great time, man. Like we've been doing it for a while, which we have been, man. So, yeah. Great meeting you, man, and we'll make it happen again.
We definitely will make it happen again, man. And we'll have the next time we have something going on, I'll have the same customized shirts that we had that me and Willa had on display. You can see on the Twitter with a name in the back and a replication of where you come from by on the shoulder piece. I'll have that hooked up for Jacob from Long Beach. I have that one hooked up for JP. I'll have that one hooked up for Janelle and everybody else whenever we get a chance to meet each other and do all that, possibly in September for the Golovkin fight against Canelo. We'll see how it goes. But nonetheless, man, it was to close on out of here, as Willa mentioned, it was a really good time out there in L.A. Great meeting everybody that we got to meet. Talked to a lot of new listeners of the show that were checking in and looking up in Austin and kind of going about what we had to talk about, because I had a lot of people coming up and recognizing the shirt and asking questions as I was chilling in the front stand with young Gabriel Flores Jr., known as Lil G, young prospect, the youngest ever to sign a professional contract at 16 years of age. father that was chilling with my guy, Jose Ramirez, got to see him, Central California, was in the building, met Adrian Broner and all that good stuff. So all in all, it was a great weekend. Got to meet my man Willa, had a very good time back in Central California, ready for the schedule of it all. And we are back to business here at the Outsiders Boxing Podcast. We'll be back. I mean, it's a short week for me, so it feels like Sunday still. But we are 2 days away from the midweek show, in which Willa hosts. And everybody, that's everybody. Much love to Marcy in Central California, Willa in Houston, Texas, everybody else, Outsiders Boxing Podcast. And we out of here, man.
Mom, I love you. P.O.P. all the time.